Welcome to the show now, the authors of Vigilance, The Price of Liberty. I love the title of this book. Authors Megan Zwirling and her father, Robert Zwirling, welcome to the show. And thank you for being patient while we start everything up.
I know, we were entertained. We're sitting here trying not to laugh into our mics.
Right. So first of all, it's great to have you in the studio. And for a number of reasons. Megan, right now you're a college student down at the real USC.
Yes.
Which is not in Southern California. Tell us where the real USC is.
The real USC in South Carolina. Yes, yeah. Right in Columbia.
And for you, somebody that's written a book like this, last couple of weeks probably have gotten you thinking a lot. Coming from South Carolina, we were kind of talking before the show about the Confederate flag and the unfortunate shooting that happened down in South Carolina, and the reaction. How about just personal thoughts on what's happened over the last couple of weeks down there?
Well, yeah, we were. It's kind of weird not to be there during all of this. Mm-hmm. But we were talking before the show about how it's sad that this is a knee-jerk reaction. This is a symbol in our history. I can certainly understand all sides of it. But it is sad to see that, this is a part of our history that we're taking down. And I personally don't see it as a symbol of racism and whatnot. But like I said, there's always other perspectives.
Yeah, we were talking about that. And I'm first of all, I think it's terrible that these people were shot. Anytime somebody is killed, but I guess I look at it differently. I think sometimes people get so wrapped up in prejudice or whatever that it's because it involved a white guy and killing black people. It now is a sign of prejudice. Me, I look at it as here's a crazy guy. White or black, whatever he was, walked into a church with a gun. He's got to be crazy in the first place, and then sits there for a while, and then, then goes into firing. It's just to me, he's not a prejudiced guy. He's or somebody that symbolizes racism. He's somebody that symbolizes crazy, and it's unfortunate we have those in our society.
Oh yeah, and there'll always be those people, and whether or not it is racially motivated, There are always going to be those crazy isolated events.
Right. So it's,
And it's unfortunate kind of we've had a string of them as well.
Yeah. Well, and what kind of shocked me was how young the guy is. And this I'm going to segue into what your book is about, because I think a lot of this is connected in an interesting way. I think tell us first, well, I'm going to let you tell us, either of you, and Robert, feel free to jump in, is Megan, tell us about the book. You started writing, this all came about when you were writing your essay for your application, correct?
Yeah, college application essays.
And then why did you choose this particular topic?
Well, I had just come out of AP US History at CDM with Laura Mayberry, and that's what first got me really interested in US history. I mean, we'd always had political debates in our house. But this really focused on the Constitution, history. So when I was prompted with the question, choose an issue of importance to yourself, your generation, your community, and explain how it affects yourself, your community, your generation, whatnot, I answered in short that government has become too large to sustain and too opaque to be accountable, which diminishes its ability to do the public good.
Very well put. That's amazing. Oh my God.
You thought of that in high school?
AP US History, yes.
I was still trying to learn to tie my shoes in high school. Just so I could leave for college someday,
Well, I was trying to leave for college too. And then my dad over here said what I thought was a joke. Let's write a book about this.
It was so succinct. It was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we had spent a little bit of time talking about it, what she was going to write. Before, that's how we usually, even today, that's how we operate as we wrote the book, as we read a blog and things like that. We kind of tee up ideas, we talk through them. But then she just writes this, and she says, here, what do you think about this? And I said, oh, that's perfect. Let's write a book.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I first said, you should write a book.
I said, she's like, oh, yeah, I'll just add that to my list of things to do.
Exactly.
One more thing to write.
And I said, you should write a book and call it The Perils of Politics and Parties. Mm. And that was our actual working title for the book as we wrote it. And then her eyes started rolling. Yeah, Dad. Yeah, Dad. And then I said, well, why don't we write a book? And then it became, oh, well, okay. It was more placated than anything else. And it really took root when we actually drove from here, California, Southern California, to South Carolina. We had 4 days in a tin can to kind of talk this whole thing over and outline it and actually start writing things. And that's how it took root.
Well, and also, I bet it was really, really interesting to experience different parts of America as you took that journey, because I'm guessing your premise holds true not just here in California, but then as you went across the country.
Oh, yeah.
Was your head just reeling from, oh, my gosh, this applies to the, obviously, to the entire nation?
Oh, yeah. Actually, a lot of the parts in our book were inspired by our road trip, things we saw along the road when we got across the Mississippi and all those trees. I mean, we came from desert to flat plains in Texas where there was absolutely nothing.
Except days and days of driving.
Except the road and going straight. Yes, no turns.
State that.
You know, I have not, you bring up an interesting point. I have not driven across country through the South, but I do know that halfway between here and Dallas is someplace in Texas. That's how big Texas is.
Right.
If you're driving, it is amazing.
Yes.
Okay. So, Robert, what's your background? What do you do for a living and everything that brings you to the point of all of a sudden sitting down with your daughter one day and writing a book?
Well, it's kind of obvious as I tell you the story, because it's kind of obvious that as you asked Megan, are you a history major? And she said, no, I'm biomedical engineering. Well, my background is technology, software, in that I've had the opportunity to travel all over the world. I've had companies, we've done business in over 100 countries, and so I've been on, I think, just about every continent, maybe Antarctica. I haven't.
Oh, wow.
There wasn't any business there.
Right.
So I had seen as we had, and a lot of this was during presidential elections.
Sure.
So I had seen how Americans talk about the country, and being in other countries, seeing how other countries talk about America.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such a contrast. Like what we were thinking was America the awful. Other countries would say, well, it's pretty good compared to here, or vice versa. But the point was, it became very clear once you leave the country and you visit other countries how blessed we are. We have the blessing of freedom for now that allows us to do things that no one else can do, no other country can do. So it's something that's at jeopardy, and all of this culminated with her essay.
Well, we're with Megan and Robert Zwirling, and we're talking about their book, Vigilance, The Price of Liberty, here on the Sunday Brunch Show with Tom and Lynn. We're going to come back here in just a moment.
Come on back.
Sunday Brunch is underwritten by Fitzgerald's Auto Care Center, AAA approved. Fitzgerald's takes care of your automobile on Placentia in Costa Mesa and on the web, fitzautocare.com. Amber Marine, servicing boats and outboard motors for over 28 years in the Newport Harbor area. Amber Marine is on Placentia and Costa Mesa, and on the web, ambermarine.net. Harbor All Glass and Mirror, complete glass and glazing for residential, commercial, mall, and marine needs, with over 67 years experience. Located in Costa Mesa, and on the web, harborallglass.com. MB Studio Services, a radio broadcast production facility in Costa Mesa, providing production support for radio producers, voiceover artists, and podcasters. ISDN lines available. More information, mbstudioservices @gmail.com. Sunday Brunch will continue momentarily.
And we are back. It is Sunday Brunch here on KOCI 101.5 FM, serving Costa Mesa and Newport Beach. And I do want to remind our listeners that we are a nonprofit station. And so we rely on donations and sponsors to be able to come to you, well, during the week with the best classic rock ever, in my opinion. I think this is one of the greatest classic rock stations, not only in Southern California, but, you know, now
in
that
the
you can.
World.
Well, hey. And so if you feel so inclined, please go onto our website, kociradio.com, and there's a little donate button. Or if you want to become a corporate sponsor, we can never have too many of those, can we?
Nope. And you could also write a check to Tom Johnson. He's got an extra zero at the back. Anyway, no. It's all about KOCI, and we're happy to be here. We're with Megan Zwirling and her father, Robert Zwirling. Okay, Megan, first of all, how old are you?
I'm 21.
21. So are you junior, senior at South Carolina?
Rising senior.
Rising senior. And you're not like an English lit major. You're
Biomedical
engineering.
And what do you hope to do with your life as far as that field goes?
I think she should run for president, so I'll just answer that for her. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, not quite that into politics.
Right.
I do think vigilance is important, but I'll stick on the business side for now.
Yeah.
Once I have some more experience in that, maybe I'll have something to give back to my country.
Oh, I'm sure you will. And I think what we were talking about before the break was as you were traveling to go to school in South Carolina and seeing the country and seeing, you know, what it's like out there. It seems to me that there's like at least two generations now of people who don't understand the Constitution, don't recognize its importance. They think that, and to your point, Robert, that it, you know, if you go to the various countries, things are just like they are here in the United States because everything has been very westernized. But for anybody who travels, you know, and depending what the country is, it is not the United States. There is a reason why this country is so unique. So what I like about this book, and I want you to talk a little bit about it, is the subtitle. The title is Vigilance, the Price of Liberty. And then the sub is What You Can Do Today to Save America Tomorrow. I think that's super, super important because as the baby boomers age out, we get it. We totally get it. But there's a lot of people behind us who don't. And give us some examples of what people can do that you talk about in the book.
Well, we first give them a working knowledge of the Constitution, one, because it's important to know the Constitution, to know our founding. Break it down. And then we analyze the major issues that plague our country, and then seven solutions going forward. And I know my dad loves to talk about those because that was something he pushed for when you're writing the book, when you're kind of organizing it. What does our future look like? How do we get there? So I'll let him
give us
share
a sample,
some of his
Robert.
Favorites.
Right.
So
give us enough to tease us, but don't give away the whole book.
Yeah, because we want people to buy the book.
Got it. So as we, again, like Megan was saying, it was something we wrote the book, but it missed a mark as we were getting toward the end, which was, what can I do? And we heard that when we had some people review it and talk to us about it. Well, what can I do? What can I do?
Mm-hmm.
So we came up with these things that are not constitutional amendments. That's the first thing, because constitutional amendments are very, very hard to do. So we wanted to do something that people could rally around and could take up as a cause and say, I want to do this, I want to do this, mm-hmm. I want to do this. So it's interesting. The first one we have in the book is this idea that we should have like an SAT for politicians, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
They're always talking to us about politics and law and the Constitution. And I'm curious how many of them know the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So and not just knowing the Constitution, because the Constitution itself is one of the two great documents of the world. The Magna Carta and the Constitution form the two greatest political documents this world has ever seen.
That's right.
And what we want to do say is, okay, guys, if you want to run for office, great. Let's test you on your knowledge of the Constitution, but not stop there. The Declaration of Independence. And talk about the great writings, the political, philosophical writings of Locke, of Burke, of Montesquieu, that were the foundation of the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
and our founders were deeply aware of. So we want to give them a comprehensive SAT. Now, we're not saying it's a qualification for running for government, but it's that they will voluntarily submit themselves to it, and then we'll see what kind of score they get.
You know, that's interesting. You should bring that up. First of all, it continually amazes me, 240 years later, that a document was written back in the 1700s that was so well thought out and was so defensible from a country standpoint. Now we've added things on to that, but the initial document itself is just so impressive the way it could stand the test of time. But on a local level, it's interesting you should say that about government, because I'm actually with a group in town that has a segment of the business called the Newport Beach Foundation, and it's through Newport Beach and Company. And it's actually an exercise and a class in town to try to take local people that want to run for office and try to take them through a class to explain local government. And it's exactly what you're saying on a bigger level. I think local government's kind of easy to get into because it's smaller, but you go to Sacramento and it's, to me, Sacramento's so messed up, and then you go to Washington, and Washington's even more messed up. Mm-hmm. But I think I agree with you 1,000%. I think we need to do a lot more educating of our politicians. To me, I would expect our politicians to be the best and brightest, and I don't see that.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and that's not to take anything away from them. I mean, they are. Listen, to get into politics, to run an election, do all those things, you have to be very savvy. Yeah. So it's not to take anything away from sheer intellect, but it's something to say that, what are you in politics for?
Right.
Right.
What's your agenda?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Is it to protect the Constitution, or is it to forward your ideology or make money, right?
Exactly. Which is, it's troubling for career politicians now. They get into politics to make money. It's not that they've had experience, they've had business experience or whatever field they wanted to go into, and now they've achieved success and want to give back to the country that's allowed them to achieve that success. Mm-hmm. And these politicians are coming in so young, inexperienced, with having just studied themselves and whatever they want to do, and they lose sight of that. And so business is struggling, and other industries struggle because the people who are in charge have no idea what's going on.
Well, I think that the irony of all of this is that the Constitution and these other documents that we're discussing were all meant to prevent the oppression of government, which is exactly what I think we are experiencing. And it just seems to be escalating, not the opposite. And that's what's scary.
Megan, okay, 21 years old. Let me throw some a couple questions to you. First of all,
go for it. Looking
back on American history, who are some of the names in American history that stand out to you?
Well, there's obviously George Washington.
And tell me why. I mean, you put together this great book, but tell me why. What you as a 21-year-old kind of know about some of these bigger names?
Well, George Washington in particular struck me first in AP US history with his farewell address, which was also connects to our first working title of the book, Perils of Politics and Parties. I know he says parties before politics, but same thing. but he warned against political parties. Obviously, political parties were already forming at that time, but he warned against them, that it separates people, and you're trying to fit square pegs and round holes, and it.
Yeah, and prevent the government or somebody from coming in and just taking it over amid the chaos.
Yeah, and you're also, I notice now from just my generation, you look at like two resumes, like, okay, this is the Democrats, this is the Republicans, this is liberal, whatnot. Which one do I fit best into? And it really should be, these are my ideas. What policies do I agree with?
Yeah, why does it need to be Republican, Democrat?
Exactly. I think people get away from
Tea Party.
Yeah, they'll accept other things within a party that, I don't necessarily agree with that, but this is what I fit into best.
I agree. Yeah. I think what happened is, I think you go back 40, 50 years ago, and it was more clearly defined Republican and Democrat, and now nowadays it's, I think, the way the world's developed, it's like you can have conservative fiscal beliefs, but maybe more socially moderate or vice versa or whatever. But I'm saying it's not a cookie cutter mold anymore.
Yeah, and people usually align themselves via social issues now. It's not fiscal. It's all about social issues that, and a lot of them aren't necessarily constitutional issues that the federal government has any business dealing with. Right.
Well, as a life, I've been, since I registered initially, back when I was, what, 21 years old, I guess, is I became a Republican, and I come from a conservative family, and I've pretty much voted Republican all of my life, good or bad. But it has been more troubling, I would think, in the last 20 years to just say you're a Republican, because that doesn't fit in. There's a lot of things like in the Orange County Republican Party that I have been against in the last, you know, 10, 15 years. And I mean, a lot of stuff that I'm totally for, but it just, again, it just doesn't strike me all at once.
So just but to your point, what did you guys think about the White House being lit up in the rainbow colors?
Well,
that's obviously a social issue, not...
Yeah, we actually talked about this in our blog today, that the justices in the majority obviously didn't read their job descriptions this week. It doesn't matter our view on gay marriage, or technically it's a term from the Bible, but it doesn't matter our position because the federal government had no business ruling on it in the first place. It's not a constitutional issue. Gay marriage is not a constitutional issue. Yeah. It's, you know, state and local governments can deal with it. I know it has to do with tax purposes for marital status, but it's not a constitutional issue.
And do you think that, you know this, but do you think there isn't more uproar because people don't understand the Constitution and the responsibility of the Supreme Court?
Oh, yes. I would 110% agree with that. But I think also people get caught up in just the social issue, like, yes, I want equality for everyone, which is great. I don't care what you do.
Right.
But it's not a Supreme Court issue.
And for the record, I just want to point out to our listeners that you wrote this as a nonpartisan, you know, father-daughter project simply to educate people, correct?
Yes, definitely. And it was a launching pad for us to start this movement towards vigilance, get my generation especially engaged in politics and the political arena, because so many people are just disenchanted and disaffected by our politics.
And how are your friends and your peers who have actually read the book or seen your blog and the website? And by the way, I want to let our listeners know that the website is US Vigilance, and it's VIGILANCE, because some people don't spell very well, .com. USVigilance.com. I'm telling you, text
and
everything.
Oh, I know.
It's like killing me.
I've had to spell it out multiple times.
Oh, it's just,
I can't tell you how many times I got an S at the end, and it...
We get pitched a lot by PR people, and if somebody's under 25 and I look at something they've written, almost every single time there's a typo. But anyway, I digress. But going back to
this.
Hang
on, let me just jump in here for a second. Yeah. Robert, it has to be a great feeling from your part. I mean, I'm a father of daughters that have grown up and everything. It must be a fantastic feeling from your part to be involved with this, with your daughter.
Well, it's kind of, as a parent, it's indescribable. I mean, what we've done and how we do it, and we continue to do it today with the website, the blog. Megan's, we just launched My Generation on YouTube. These are the kinds of things that parents don't usually get that opportunity to interact, because the kids go through grade school, high school, they go off to college. Adios.
Yes.
They leave and go
across
the country.
Across country, yeah. 3,000 miles away.
I'm still in reach, though, apparently.
Do you have siblings?
No, I don't. Okay. I'm an only child.
Right, so there you go.
This is the long arm.
Hard.
I want to hear about My Generation, too, really quick, because that's like I was just about to ask you what's next now that this book is out there. Tell us about that, My Generation.
Well, My Generation, it's a way to engage my generation in politics and really getting to the issues, not taking away the partisan poison that has affected our media. And we have two episodes out right now.
And this is on YouTube, yes? Or can you get to it on usvigilance.com?
You can get to it via our website, as well as search for it on YouTube.
Got it.
Just searching for My Generation, all one word, as if it was like a hashtag because right. we're the young, cool, hip generation.
Right.
Had to make it different, yeah. of course. Couldn't make it two separate words. But yeah, just engaging my generation.
Having a conversation.
Yeah, and we're trying to get some interviews going. Some friends that are involved in different sides of the political aisle.
Yeah.
And just getting down to the issues, taking away the partisan out of it.
Yes. And unfortunately, I think that's probably why this has gotten so far down the road, is because so many people, whether it's the media or politicians themselves, they kind of pervade this, I know you don't understand the Constitution and you don't need to worry about it because I got you covered here. And, you know, when you look at, you know, some of the bad, bad leaders around the world, that's kind of one of their strategies. It's like, you know, don't worry, the government will take care of you. And then we know what happens next. And so I laud you and applaud you for doing this, because hopefully it'll start a fire. And when, you know, we were talking earlier, just like, I would love to see you hook up with Jesse Waters on Fox, because this is so right up his alley. When he interviews young people on the street, and he's young. He's, you know.
Oh, yeah, no. And I've talked to people on campus, even down south, and it amazes me what I hear.
You should take a cameraman and just walk around campus and do
some
stuff with my
generation.
Oh, I
have a camera now, yeah, okay. And that is coming with me on campus everywhere.
You're going to have, you could start a whole, you know, fire blazing on with my generation, especially, I think. I think you're that's a great idea, and I hope you have a lot of success with it. And
Megan and Robert Swirling. Yes. The Vigilance, The Price of Liberty. So if people want to follow you and on all your deals, give us not only how they can follow you, but where they can go about getting the book.
Well, on our website, we have links to our Facebook, Vigilance, The Price of Liberty, Twitter, We Are Vigilant, as well as our blog on Wednesdays and on Sundays, bevigilantbefree.blogspot.com.
I love that.
Yeah, and you can... We love the title. I thought it was pretty creative when I came up with it.
Yeah, I
thought it was cool. And then you can also get links to buying our book via our website. You can find it at Barnes & Noble. I believe we just sold out at the Newport Beach Library, as well as the USC, the USC campus, the one in South Carolina.
That's right.
The real USC. right. Amazon and iTunes.
Perfect. Well, we wish you great, great success. Success again next year at USC, University of South Carolina.
Yes, go Gamecocks.
Yeah. And we're going to come back. We're going to have Barbara Venezia, and we're going to talk local politics in just a moment on Sunday Brunch.
Pleasure talking with you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.